Good evening, everyone. It is Tuesday, August 1st, 2023 at 6:59 p.m. And this is the meeting of the Board of Trustees of Bridge Prep Charter School. I'd like to call the meeting to order. We have in attendance with us in person, we have Amanda Wolkowitz, Laurel Wettinger, and on Zoom, we have Mark Harmon Vaught, Rose Kerr, Becky Peters, Maria Casale, Gino Kriakos, and we have Christine Volpe with us and Tim Costanza from the school. And if there are no objections, I'd like to move on to the first item. Actually, Laurel, I'd like you to do the welcome first.
Thank you all for attending. I'm just making sure we do have quorum so we can do the voting. And due to some staffing timing issues, we're going to put all the votes at the top of the calendar. So we're going to get to that right away. So thank you all for attending and we'll move right along. I know everybody has things that they need to get to.
And the first item on our agenda is to approve minutes. So we have two separate minutes. The first minutes are from our June board meeting on June 20th. If there are no objections, I'd like to make a motion to pass the meeting minutes.
I second that, Rose Kerr.
Thank you, Rose. With that, the minutes are approved. The second set of meeting minutes are from our special meeting on July 18, 2023. If there are no objections, I'd like to make a motion to approve those minutes.
I just need to comment for 1 second. I emailed Kathy Baldassano can't attend tonight, but she'll hear this in the minutes. She did such a phenomenal job of taking and culling all the material from that strategy session, making us all sound brilliant and putting it back for us to review, that I just wanted that on the record. Thank you to Kathy.
Thank you, Laurel. I can't tell you how happy I am that Kathy does this piece of me.
Amen.
So hearing no objections, the minutes are approved. And then we will jump right into our committee updates with renewal update first.
Right. And as we all know, that is on the calendar for tonight. It's our big vote item. It's the renewal application benchmarks 2 through 10, prepared by PASEC, reviewed by all of us, ready for a vote to go forward. The application is due August 15th. I don't know if anybody else had any further comments. I will say I reread it. I do think there was a lot of good additions to it. They did listen to some of our comments. Rose, did you have your hand up? You have additional comments?
I did. I just want to make sure I heard you right. You said benchmark 3 through 10, not two.
2 through 10.
Maybe it was wishful thinking. but I actually heard 3. Yeah. But okay, 2. All right. Okay. Okay. Thank you.
So did anybody have any changes, additions, any comments? And I will say, if somebody reads it and there's a technicality, a little something before they submit it, we have another week to just look at that. But other than that, I believe that it's in good form, and I present it on behalf of the renewal committee and the task force that we vote on that tonight and approve the application.
I have one question. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Somewhere in benchmark 2, that's the education, right?
Mm-hmm.
There was a table that talked about the percent of students by classification.
Yeah.
And the first column listed the classifications. The second column talked about percent of enrollment, and then the third column talked about percent for 22-23, but those numbers didn't match. So I'm wondering, what is the difference between percent of enrollment versus percent of students 22-23?
That's a good question. I'm going to look at it right now.
Okay.
I actually, one of the things that we asked that PASIC said they'd be doing before submission was just part of the tech proofing was like making sure numbers aligned throughout the document. It was something that I had seen like earlier on in another benchmark. I think it was in benchmark 1, and I know we're not submitting benchmark 1, but it was like a flag for me and Laurel. We talked about this to make sure that they had checked through that all numbers and percentages around like percentage of kids with IEPs that they aligned. So Tracy, I'll point that out I will do like another check-in with PASIC this week because they weren't submitting it obviously until we give them the green light
right.
to do so. And the goal was Friday. So we have a little bit of time for me to like kind of just do a little tech proof with them on that. Okay. I know that table you're referencing.
Yeah, because it didn't make sense unless there was a description of what the two different, because to me, the columns should have been the same. And then why do we need both columns? But if the kids enrolled are equal to the kids that are there, 22, 23, it seemed redundant, but it wasn't because the numbers didn't match.
Want to look at it right now, or do you
want to go back? I'm going to look at it. I don't want to hold this up here.
Okay.
Well, yeah, just if you can, just give us 1 second just to see if it's something that you can explain quickly. If not,
no problem.
I have to pull it up.
Sorry for the reg.
No, that's fine.
Here it is. What did you say? It's on page 12.
Yeah, it starts on the bottom of page 12.
Okay. Sleep system. Okay. There is actually a difference in the chart. Okay. So what they're trying to present, and this is part of the case that I think they're trying to make in terms of who our kids are, is that what is the percent of the total school enrollment of this classification? And then of our SWDs, what is the percentage of it? So like, what is the percentage of kids in the building that have an autism classification, gen ed and special ed, total enrollment?
Right.
And when you look at our SWD number specifically, what is the percentage of our students with disabilities that have an autism classification?
So the third column is the percentage of the 67%.
Correct.
And the middle column is the percentage of 100% of our kids.
That's correct.
Okay, that makes sense. Thank you.
Absolutely. I'd rather have clarification, and thank you for looking at it.
I will say, well, now, so this is where, like, when we really get in the weeds, I don't personally love that. I understand why they're putting that there. And this is something that very generally, like, I've shared with PASIC is, like, I think we could make this, and Rose, we've talked about this too, right? We could make this narrative 120 pages, right? And part of what we would do there is we might build out, tell me what this chart means. This is what we're looking for in this chart. And we could have gone down that rabbit hole. PASIC felt, and I think like we got to a place where we supplemented a lot. They had felt that if it becomes too granular.
It's unwieldy too. It gets unwieldy.
We lose the audience.
Sure.
And if we reached a point too where we deigned to the fact that we hired experts. So we were letting them lead us a little bit, even though as far as narrative, dialogue, and additional verbiage, we were all leading towards, we were being guided to, this is what we do, please listen to us. So we're in that in between. I know a lot more pages were added. I think we added about at least, you know, probably about 10 to 12 pages that weren't on the original document by explaining things that weren't necessarily going to be explained first round. So it was done. And I know we still have benchmark one to get to. And I know Rose is definitely weighing in on that and Tracy too. And we can have weekly meetings with the consultant and give much more pushback if we really, because we know we need to explain things there. But I will say that this was a bit of a balancing act with the consultant saying, shorten it, truncate it. Nobody's going to read every word of this. You have to do a hit and run, as opposed to we know what you think about your school, but you have to listen to us a little bit.
Good point. That's exactly how they framed it as the renewal visit is critical because folks are going to be in the building and they want to see it, right? This they're viewing as like part of it is pro forma, right? You have to submit it. And part of it is like, we don't know, given the number of staff changes that have happened in the NYSED charter school office, just their bandwidth is. And so rather than like give them a burdensome, like gigantic document, let's be really thoughtful, concise, and put it all on the table at the visit, which I think is a strong
point. With that said, I'm not saying, I don't think we scrimped on the document either. I'm pretty comfortable with it.
I would agree. I mean, we added a, just for context, because probably good context for the vote. We did add a significant amount of feedback from board members. Also some things that a lot of what we added was stuff that we are planning. So like to do, right? So this is what we're doing in 23, 24, because much of what they asked, they want to know is like, this is what you did, but what are you doing you know, because this is actually a year of our renewal of our term. So we're entering the final year of our term. So we have to account for that as well. So that was, I thought, something that was a good strategy that we did. We could have just focused on all the things we've done in the past. I think it's showing our growth through the term.
Right. And meeting the charter guidelines. And, yes. And what we said we were going to do, trying to say we've done it or at least made steps forward to get there. That's what we're trying to prove to NYSED. Okay, with that said, any other commentary? Okay, Rose?
Yeah. When Tim just said the renewal visit, the state is emphasizing the renewal visit, that's going to take, I know that's going to take a lot of work.
Yeah.
And it's not even staff changes, Tim, because they're not filling the positions. They're just attriting positions up at the charter office. Am I right?
They've not backfilled.
It's just attrition up there, not even replacements or changes. So what concerns me is,
that's a good point.
Is that, and what also concerns me is they walked away from our midterm visit saying that they didn't see any of our foundational points of our
key design elements. They didn't see the key design elements.
And so we have to double down so much on those points that even somebody who has nothing to do with education could see it, you know, because we don't know who's going to be walking into those rooms. And yeah,
scarier still, more than likely, is going to be an outside consultant.
Yes.
And not even necessarily an outside consultant. The last one was from Chicago.
Yep.
So not necessarily somebody is going to be local that knows anything about us. So absolutely, we have a lot of trepidation about the process and the lack of warm bodies, and certainly nobody that's acted as our liaison this entire year through the renewal process. So right. So we have to be prepared on the top of every board on the visit. If it's going to say key design element in this room,
yes.
It's going to be there. It's going to have shirts, whatever no one it is. We are going to put it in their face. I would agree. What did you?
Yeah, I was just going to say that it was almost guaranteed to me that the folks that come on the visit will be external consultants because there's only one liaison left in the state. And for us, it is Paolo. And Paolo actually knows who we are and what we do. He was our original liaison. So I'm going to push that he comes on that visit because he does know the school. I did speak with Nora and Violet a little bit about like strategy around like angles that I'm pushing, specifically my concern that you raised, Rose, like we brought a consultant from Chicago last time and she didn't understand what we did beforehand.
I don't think we should worry so much. They can't really critique what they don't really know. There could be bodies there pretending to know the work, but unless you really know the work, you really can't critique the work without some challenge. And just put me on and I'll be able to.
And that's exactly what I said, Maria. I basically am like preparing us all to say like, let's get people that know what we do. And just to be really fair, as fair as possible to what we do, because I'll tell you, we put together a fantastic midterm visit where we outlined key design elements. They were in every room. Christine and I and Farron ad nauseum had them baked in, and we appealed NYSED's comment that like they didn't see key design elements, and that we got a recognition that like was received and understood, and like with more of the like, we get it, we're sorry type thing, because we have documentation. So I think our goal, we will treat the midterm visit the way we would treat any visit. We will extensive prep. We will, you know, not put on a show because then it will be unauthentic. But we are in a really good place that we've done these before. And I'll tell you, I felt if we do our midterm visit again, maybe with a couple of things better, I think we're going to be in good shape. I really do.
All right. I know Mark has to leave. So without any other comments on the renewal application, I'm going to renew my motion, I guess, to put it on the table that we vote on the application. And does anybody want to second that motion?
I'll second that.
Okay. Mark seconds it. Everybody in favor of putting in this renewal application that we've been provided with for benchmarks 2 through 10, please raise your hand. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Anybody opposed? Any abstentions?
Becky, I think you're saying aye.
It was my first time. Forgive me.
Okay. That's okay.
Fair enough. Fair enough. All right. The motion passes. We don't think, Gina, no other votes for tonight, right?
That's it.
All right. Mark, if you need to leave, please. Thank you so much for attending.
Thank you, everybody.
With that, we can move on to our committee updates. Rose, if you want to give us an update on academic committee.
Yeah, we had a. Christine and I had a call, and I know that Tracy has visited the school and met with Christine. So Christine, you and I bulleted out a couple of points that you would bring out this evening. And so I'll turn it over to you if you don't mind. And of course, Tracy and Jean, if you want to add anything, and Maria.
Yes, so thank you, Rose. And yeah, it's been a pleasure. I've been working with Tracy in person. We talked a lot about teacher observations and the feedback cycle. So we have some systems in place. We're actually brought in a new tool for us to use called Bullseye. And that's going to enable Tim and I and our coaches and Jill for all of our feedback to lie and be housed in one place so that the teachers can also have access to it. We can look at trends in the building or strengths and weaknesses of our teachers and then plan accordingly, whether it's the tiered support or professional development for the staff. So really excited about that. We also start talking more about data and kind of bringing more data to the table for our board so they can understand who our students are. So working with the data team, as you guys know, that we have school teams in place next year, so that we'll have a larger data team. We'll have a curriculum team. And so we'll be able to like bring that back to more detail to the board. Summer school is going really well. We're in our last week. So far we've maintained our 70. Yeah, right.
It's hard to believe. That's what
I know. So far we've been able to maintain maintaining our 70% attendance for full funding. Miss Marks is the site coordinator and she's been keeping track of that. So we're on target to get the entire grant. We incorporated some new things in our program this year, like Water Wednesdays and Pizza Fridays, and we had an ice cream truck come on Mondays. So we sent a calendar to the parents at the beginning of the summer so that they can see all the fun things we had planned. I think that helped to boost attendance. In terms of staffing, Tim might want to add to that as well. Interviewing is still going on. We're not fully staffed yet. I believe, Mr. Costanza, you and Farron had some interviews this week.
Yeah, we're about one staff member away, and we have a candidate in the pipeline. I think I shared in the past meeting where the challenge is finding the highly qualified teachers. We have candidates that we're interviewing, but we're not at the place like, and we've had a bad experience, and I won't do it again. We're just like have warm body, put them in a classroom. It's not going to set kids up for success. So we're continuing to interview. The pool is small, but for example, we interviewed a great gen ed teacher earlier this week who had just come back from vacation. She was fantastic, and we're going to make her an offer to fill. Like, we had two vacancies as of last week that would leave us with one. We need a special ed license. I think just one of the things I like to share is the contingency plan if we don't hire. Our goal is that like when we start professional learning on the 21st, we consider ourselves fully staffed. So how do you do that? We are going to have to look at our classrooms that have two certified special ed teachers as a pair and consider breaking those pairs up. It's not optimal. It's not something that we want to do because the pairings that we put together, we feel really strong about, and we feel present kids in that classroom with the best, teachers. But at the end of the day, like, we have to keep moving, and compliance is key and king and queen for us here. So we're hoping that we don't get there. I think, like, we have a couple of contingency plans in the event that that happens. This is not the first year that we've gone into August for hiring. And just for clarity as to why we're at this place, we did lose a teacher. It's the first year we lost one of our teachers as a non-return. She's going back to school. So she's not, you know, it's not like we lost her to somewhere other than school, and we support her in professional growth journey. But that kind of triggered an opening for us.
We have the math coach, right?
We hired the math coach. Yeah, Mrs. Volpe, you want to talk about Ms. Cupo?
Sure. So Mr. Cupo is from the DOE. We stole from the DOE.
He's coming
from
it was a great steal.
He's coming from District 75. He's going to start with us next week, but he did come in this week to meet some of the staff. He actually was able to do some curriculum mapping with staff we had in, which is another point. We have some of our curriculum team members have been coming in over the summer to build out our curriculum maps. We've almost felt like it feels like it's been full staff this summer between the office staff that's been in and our teachers that have been in. So that's really been very helpful. So we're moving really nicely along with our curriculum mapping. And Mr. Cooper came in, helped with the planning. We've shared him on a lot of documents already, and he'll be with us starting on Monday. Almost finished with our planning for professional development. Teachers come back on the 21st. We do have two chock-filled weeks of professional learning. We have the TWR 3 days for all of our teaching staff. That's the 22nd, 23rd, and 24th, three full-day workshops. It's virtual, but we'll all be in the building, but it will be virtual. We did secure a licensed BABC specialist and LSW. She is going to provide a day and a half workshop. She's going to work one half day with the social workers and then a full day with the entire staff on trauma-informed practices, ABA, bringing in any kind of strategies we can use in the classroom. In addition, we've contracted her throughout the year to provide 4 hours of support a week, where we're going to look at identified classrooms and students that may need extra support. And she'll work with the social workers and the teachers to implement different strategies. So we're really excited about that.
Can I just interject quickly? Yes. So I think it'd be good practice to look at the kids' IEPs to see who receives ABA already, or maybe who is in need of receiving ABA, since you already have somebody there. Because with all these practices, if it's not going on at home, it's a one-shot deal, almost guaranteed not to last. So identify those kids, their families, and see if you could get that support through the CSE, through the Committee of Special Education on an IEP. It'll make a big difference. Mm-hmm.
Definitely, thank you. And then we, you know, a lot of our basic, we have the math coach and Cheryl and our special ed support teacher going to be working with teachers with compliance issues, with just special ed procedures, differentiation, reviewing co-teaching model and best practices. That's on our agenda. Very important to do that every year. Our social workers will be now, after their workshop with the specialists, they're going to be rolling out our plan for the code of conduct and how it should be implemented, so that, you know, we have everything documented and we are on the same page with all consequences and the protocol for taking observation notes, having data so we could present to CSE and all of those things. Tim, I don't know if you want anything else for professional development. We have like 2 weeks. And then let's not forget, like, we don't know when these rooms are going to be ready. So, like, we're trying to plan for and be flexible that we know they probably won't be ready till like right before kids come in. So
rotate. Everybody rotates.
So
I just have one other question. Do we have any parent workshops on the map?
Not for the first 2 weeks. This is all for teachers, but we do have
2 weeks. Okay. Yeah.
The first 2 weeks, but we do have an orientation for parents on, I believe it's the 6th, and we scheduled it later in the day. So there's no conflict with the teachers coming in for Patrides. So it's going to be informational. It's going to be fun. It's almost like a back to school night for parents.
Thank you.
And one quick question for me. It might be premature for the September meeting, but do you think that we'll have beginning of the year data at that point on MAP or no?
Probably not.
That's fine. Not by the 12th. Okay. No. I want to know. Okay.
We have to talk about like when the assessment calendar comes out of like when we'll have that, when.
We may have to have a preliminary conversation based on the standardized test scores, but
that data we'll have the data, but it gets embargoed.
So we don't know. Right. Okay. So it's premature then. That's what I want.
But we do have an assessment calendar, and we'll be able to share the assessment calendar with you.
Okay. Thank you.
I can hold on to my space. We can move on.
No, it's okay. That's all I have.
I have like a couple of other academic things, but there I can talk about that quickly in my.
Go ahead.
No, I would just say like just in terms of the space, we've been spending a lot of time like deciding who goes where, which takes a little nuance. But we're there now, finally.
I'm in the art room.
This is now the art room. It wasn't as of yesterday, but we did some moving around of some adult spaces. To really maximize space and, you know, put kids' spaces first, which I thought was really important. The demolition of there's doing some demolition upstairs in the classrooms. That's actually happening now, overnight over the next couple of weeks to expedite the process, which is great. And we've already begun, you know, contracting, doing our pre-work on painters and some folks coming in to do branding for us, so that way when the messy work is done, we can begin the process of doing painting and getting the hallways ready for kids. I think we are targeting the last week of August as when classroom completion will be done. That's what the DOE has shared. It's ambitious, but I think that, you know, I've been surprised by them before, where they send like 60 people in on a weekend and then all of a sudden it's done. So we're monitoring it very, very closely. We've done most of our ordering, right? So our supplies and all of our materials are gonna start to be coming in. We've scheduled those delivery dates, knowing that, like, again, we're out of storage at this moment. So I think that I'm feeling really good that we'll be ready first day of school. I think what we'd really like to be ready for is a couple of days before orientation. So that you know, teachers can be comfortable in their space beforehand. But the calendar is finalized. We shared the calendar with families and teachers for the school year. I think that the professional learning calendar that Christine mentioned is the first time that I feel that we have like a lot of different hands in the pot in terms of leading and facilitating professional learning over the summer. A lot of it is sometimes relied on either Jill or the school. And in fact, these 2 weeks are not including the work that we do with Jill and Ann. And that's really good. It represents this like increase in the amount of professional learning and diversity of professional learning that we're offering teachers, which I think is really good. Christine, myself, and Farron will be leading professional learning on the first day for staff around expectations, culture, and what we expect out of our staff as we really lead into the school year. And we're going to develop some school-wide culture themes, which we've been working through over the past couple of weeks. So we are looking forward to that. And I would agree, Christine, that I think that the tone that we've seen this summer from staff is a focused one. And I feel really, really happy to see that. Teachers coming in with purpose, really focused on the work and getting that done. And I think that is a result of the changes that we made from it on the team, right? We brought in new roles. Mr. Kupo is one example, but we have a new speech and language pathologist who's like been emailing back and forth and really trying to get a handle on some of the work. And so I'm excited about these new roles and to get the year going. And I want to thank you, Tracy, for the work that you're doing with us. I know you're working a lot directly with Christine, but I want you to know I am getting a lot of good stuff myself. So I appreciate you sharing those resources and being here for that.
It's my pleasure. It gives me something to do. You're actually helping me. You don't even realize. Gets me out of my house.
Don't say that, Tracy. Next thing you know, we'll have you
on. I'm here, Tracy, anytime you want.
It's all good. Gina, bring it on.
Gina, what's up next?
Sorry, I was muted. Finance Committee, George, if you're on, I think you are on the phone.
I am here. Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Good. Okay. My apologies. Files is out up here, and it's supposedly out till 5 o'clock tomorrow evening. So I have no internet, and there's none in Bronxville, basically. So I'm actually in a very non-votable place in the car, where I found a street that has decent phone service. So here we go. The Finance Committee met on Wednesday, the 26th, and we followed up a lot from some of the things we covered during the strategy session. And so I have a brief update of things that are underway. There were a couple of areas that we outlined for follow-up during the meeting around the strategy session around investment policy and financial policies generally. And then also around the benefit side. And so with respect to the benefit side, we really talked about wanting to actively and in a current way sort of true up where we think our compensation across the board sits within the market. And I know that Tim is going to work with Boosted on completing that model, and we should be able to share it with the board once it's ready. And I expect probably, you know, at our next session or at the right time, depending on what else is on the docket for that agenda. The other thing is to really begin to look at some of our benefits and figure out where we are market-wise with them. And that involves some analytics about the different offerings that we have and looking at what their impact would be across our budget. Notably, I mean, we could look backward in terms of a sensitivity analysis and see what we would have looked like in our years leading up to the present, but also really to inform what we look like over our five-year budget, knowing that that's a key deliverable for our renewal, but it's also critical for our own planning and the team. So we need that document anyhow. And I think that as we look at reaching full census for the school, for our headcount, not only for students, but for staff, we begin to think about what operating revenue looks like, how it grows, and how our staffing model will work within that. So for all of that, on the salary side and on the benefit side, we have two projects that I hope will provide a way for the board to really make informed decisions. On the cash management side, we are really looking at our own policy to see what we are doing. I know we have some very sort of safe, very cash-like instruments right now. And there are certain, you know, rules that govern not only schools, but within New York State govern nonprofits generally. And it's, you know, it's the New York Prudent Management of Institutional Funds Act. I'm trying to figure out where we as an LEA fit within that and how, you know, what our guidelines look like. I know that, you know, based on our policy and procedures manual, we have guidelines that are compliant with state ed. The question is, if we were to do any other type of fundraising, to create any other types of vehicles, what is permitted to an organization like ours? And so those are some of the things that we're going to try to define and then be able to figure out if we were to be raising money or if we are able to, you know, devote some of our savings to certain goals that we have as an institution around funding. What can we do? And what type of asset classes are we allowed to invest in, knowing that some may yield higher performance, but they also bring on more risk? And typically, the nearer your horizon is for needing the income flow that would come out of a portfolio, the less risk you can have within it, just because you don't have time for a strong year or a weak year to smooth out. So there's a few folks that can help us. Becky and I have been discussing, actually Becky has suggested one person out of one of the banks in town, and I today got the name of another person who's been helping a group up here who I think is at the same bank. So we're going to circle back on that. But that is really in the background of the work that we're doing. Some of it will come up closer to this meeting in the early fall, and other stuff is going to take a little bit more time. But certainly around cash management, we expect to be able to put more of the money that we have in savings right now into cash-like vehicles that will yield us some return, but within a set margin of safety that keeps us within our guidelines. And I know, Tim, if you did come back to me with anything today, I'm sorry that I've not been able to see it, but we can, you know, I know in the coming weeks we're going to circle back on that. So that's what I have. And if I've missed anything, Tim, could you, you know, and even you can, you've already talked a little bit about facilities, but the important thing is that we did put extra money in there. And
yes,
you know, if there's any comment you have further on that, just to let folks know where we sit within that budget, that's the only thing.
Yeah. So we'll be, as part of the budget, like we always relook at the budget again in October when our census settles in after 1031. Where we make some line adjustments, right? We move money from one line to another. We didn't spend, we thought we spent a little more than we thought we would spend here. Facilities, upgrades and renovations that are non-capital in nature. So things that don't have a shelf life past, let's say one between like 1 and 5 years. Paint is a good example. We can't apparently capitalize paint, though I wish we could. We'll increase that budget a little bit because our paint, we've decided on a painter that's going to do painting for the whole building, stairwell, stairs, walls, doorways, everything. And then we're going to use that number to look and see what amount of funding we have available to do any capital expenses. We do have a significant amount of funding in our budget already, over $200,000 for capital repairs and capital expenses. Those are larger projects, and likely we would not be doing more than one or two of them in a given year because they usually take a little bit longer in terms of scope. This year, we've identified lighting as one that we'd like to explore, and we'll likely explore that later in the fall, in the early winter, somewhere around like the end of November, early December, given the importance that lighting has and good lighting has for kids in the classrooms and in the hallways. It really drives a lot of the mood and the vibe in the building. So lighting is one. The other big project that I think we're not ready to take on yet, and my team would love for us to, is flooring. That's a big project. And I'm going to be honest with you, I'm not into ripping up floors right now. But lighting is something that I think we can do pretty quickly. And it's something that once we make a decision, we'd be able to do over a long break, whether that's in December or February. So we'll be exploring some of those. I think that in the future, something I've learned, and it's really helpful to know because we've never had to do this before, is as a charter school, we have the ability to go through a process that the DOE has, which is called the third party vendor portal, where we can actually get quotes for work that we want to get done. Let's say we want to build a wall in the library to make a closet or something. I'm going to use an example, but the DOE is not going to pay for that. We can pay for that out of our capital expense budget. There's just a process that we have to go through with the DOE, given that it is their building, where they would, you would have, you know, we get the quote, we would submit it to them, and then they would go through the Division of School Facilities. We've never done that before because most of the work that we've ever done in the building has been done by the DOE. I think that one of the things we're trying to wrap our head around is that we don't want to be limited to the work, only the work that the DOE agrees to do for us. I think that our kids, if we feel that there is a need to for instructional or operational purposes and we have the funding, capital funding for it, we should explore that. I've just cautioned the team that let's just wait to see what work we get done during this cycle. And usually there's a little bit of a follow-up cycle in October. Hey, we didn't get to do this in the summer. We know you've asked us to do this. We'll upgrade, blah. After that time, I think it's fair for us to consider capital projects. That does not include things like a playground, right? And so if we wanted to, let's say get our new playground, the playground Josh said could fall under capital, but what would really fall under capital would be something like if the ground has to be leveled out because you want to put the playground in a certain spot on the campus. we've never dove into these weeds, but I think we're at a place where, like, once we settle in, we get everybody cited, we get classes moving and instruction happening and renewal visit done, we're going to start exploring some of those capital works, and we have the funding in the budget for it.
Tim, can I just say that having been through this, it'd be better when you get to the flooring to lay over the current floor.
Yes. Because
otherwise, you have to deal with asbestos abatement.
We're not doing that. Yeah, I can tell you right now.
Those tiles for sure have asbestos, and it's bad.
So we're going through that. Good. I'm glad you brought that up. So I wasn't going. That's what I was talking about with Dr. I'm not touching anything with the floor.
Yeah.
We're doing a new.
Could floor I suggest now. That we, before we go too deep into this, even though we weren't connected by files today, Tim, I'm glad you delve in a little bit, because this is an area that we need. And Tracy, in some ways, you could be really helpful as part of a committee around facilities, where we look at the opportunity to take on really shared services agreements, particularly with utility. The question is, if it's New York Power Authority, that sometimes is different than Con Ed, and I'm not sure who the electricity supplier is for the campus, but a lot of the lighting and that type of renovation is being done under performance contracts and partnerships that I believe that we could take advantage of. The question is, do we do them in isolation, or do we do them with the rest of the campus, because it would benefit the entire facility? And sort of, you know, these are also opportunities for us to partner with our neighbor, which in some ways, you know, in terms of scale, that could make it very attractive to contractors and vendors. It could also make it a longer timeline. But I throw that out there, because that covering existing flooring, you're absolutely spot on. And when you walk through these classrooms, it's clear that the ceiling and the lighting and the floors, just that alone, will transform the experience of our children in the school. And so these capital projects are basically anything that's going to be amortized longer than a year. And that's sort of what gets thrown over the capital end of the balance sheet, if you will. But I we have plenty of opportunity, but I think that, Tim, it's wonderful that you have this background coming into this, because there's a lot to do here. And I just want us to do it in the smartest way we can.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Done with finance?
So.
Okay, we're done with finance. That's it, George?
Yep.
Thank you.
That's it. My pleasure.
I think we don't really have any updates with board development and governance for this meeting, since we just got our two new board members and are just working on things.
Comment about that, mm-hmm. if I can. I'm going to discuss this with Kathy Baldassano, but I will have her actually reach out, I think, to Tracy and Becky. We did have a bit of an orientation process for new board members, which might be very useful. And I don't know if you've been provided with what we did, create a handbook. We created some documents. She can give you a quick overview of the open meetings laws and what we have to do to comply just with regards to our organization. So I'm going to ask Kathy to reach out to you. Maybe you can all do a Zoom call just so she can tell you what she's fabulous. She's our parliamentarian. She used to be the secretary of the CEC for years. She keeps us in check. She tells us what to do. So if she gives you that quick overview, I think you'll really get up to speed on everything before we hit the ground running in the fall. Okay.
Thanks.
My comment.
Okay. The last piece is, if there are any other updates with Renewal Task Force?
No, now that we've done this application, the next is that the Benchmark 1 due October 1. Of course, we don't like to wait for that deadline. We're ahead of the curve already. Our deadline is actually August 15th and we're done. So I feel very comfortable with that, to have final little changes on the document we just voted on and get that in. So Benchmark 1 is October 1. We, of course, are going to be guided by the standardized test scores when they come in. And once we know what that is and how we're going to approach everything and what we're faced with and what we're going to be looking at, then we can continue to work on Benchmark 1. The preliminary information they've already starting to put in. And if you want me to set up weekly calls, with you, Rose, or Tracy, or everybody, you know, if the academic committee wants to be weighing in with them, I weighed in with them once a week. We used to meet once a week to get through all the other benchmark and data. I could put you in touch with that and get a Zoom set up that you can talk to them about what you want included, preliminary, make sure everything is in there the way you wanted it from our original charter, or what they're going to say the changes are, and go through it and be ready for the once we know what the performance standards are that and what we have to face as far as the standardized test results, what else we want to include in that.
I think it's a good idea to sit with them and go over this. Okay. This, you know, to quote, and Tim's going to love this, David Frank, benchmark one. That's all that matters. So,
granted, without a doubt. And I will just throw out there, but they never did find, and they still have not found, a comparative school. So because of that, I think we have some ability to maybe squeeze out of the box a little bit to present who we are, because nobody else can say who we are, because they cannot identify a comparative school based on our populations. So, and I think that might be almost unheard of. I don't think that they have ever been faced with that before, because usually you're judged against your peer group. Yes, we'll be judged against District 31. Yes, we're going to be judged against New York City, but they don't have a comparative school with our statistical ranges and our student body. So I think that's something we need to focus on.
So just something to think about with the benchmark one submission, it actually sneaks up pretty quick.
Well, September goes like this, so yeah.
Yes, and it's even shorter for us. So it's going to really depend on when the state test data comes out. You know, it's usually the week of the 14th, 21st
of August.
If there's any further delay, it's going to push us into September.
Right.
And that gets tight.
All I can say is they've already started drafting one. There's no reason why we can't put the preliminary information in there, which is what they're already doing. You could start meeting with them and looking at what they put in there. And then we're at the ready. We know what we can be prepared for what we expect.
And we can sleep.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we can do that.
I have a question. Mm-hmm. Could I ask a question about just if is there a way just to show good faith that we could maybe think about some of the, you know, there are 20 odd dyslexia, public dyslexia schools nationwide. Is there a way to find out if any of them are using the MAP, the NWEA assessment, and begin to say, well, this is, you know, although we can't really form a peer group maybe on the state test, could we possibly do something through that metric?
I just don't, I feel like it's runs the risk of it not being favorable to us.
I wholeheartedly agree with you, but I'm just worried that, I mean, maybe the New York State people won't focus on the MAP, which is possible, but it's sort of the fact that we have, you know, within our charter, put that in as a metric. I'm just curious if we're faced with that question, would we say, okay, we'll do it going forward? Would that be a better approach?
Okay,
we did it and it didn't look good.
No, so sorry. I think I want to clarify. I think the peer school, us not having a peer school is about New York State testing data.
Okay.
Our MAP data we have, we can report on that. We have that data to report on and talk about. I know that PASIC requested an answer from NYSED about the peer school, like if they were going to
Peer school.
And I saw a preliminary thing in our renewal portal that NYSED uploads preliminary reports that said no peer school is identified for this school. So I don't know if that's them saying like, acknowledge it, we have nothing, or if that's just like placeholder language, but PASIC feels really strongly that like that comes into play in the conversation.
We're a year and a half in with that and they have not been able to identify a peer school. So I expect that we should use that to our advantage. To identify who we are and why we are not everybody else. But that's what we'll work with benchmark one. So that's my comments on that. And Gina, is that it or new business or?
You. Sorry about that. if there's any new business, we can move on to new business.
The only thing I wanted to bring up is we're meeting very early in August, August 1st, and I'm hopeful that we can meet a little bit earlier in September. So I was looking at September 12th, which is the second week in September. It's fine with the school. And we will go back then to, I think, our regular schedule of the third Tuesday of every month. I'm not going to lock it in today, but I would like to lock everything in September. So if anybody can't do that or it doesn't work, please let us know earlier. And is there anyone that can't make September 12th, Tuesday, September 12th? It's after about, no?
Yeah. Rose, definitely can't do that. Just no. So you know. So you don't count on my quorum.
Okay. Anybody else? All right. And then how about Tuesdays going forward over this next year? Does that generally work for people the way we had it this year? Okay. And the other thing I'm going to ask is the committees too, if they can lock in the dates that they're going to meet, you know, whatever the academic I know was ever and finance was whatever and governance was always whatever the first Tuesday. I'd like those to get on the calendar for the year. That way we can post them in the newspaper. We need to be as compliant as we can with all these little details. We know we're under scrutiny here and I would like to get them all locked in and on the calendar for the year, posted with the newspaper. And then of course, as this changes, we'll deal accordingly. Yes, Maria?
I did text you, Laurel. I didn't know if you were going to announce that I'm going to move to committee member on the academic committee this year.
I didn't announce yet. I didn't do committees, but thank you. Yeah. Maria is going to be moving forward with her dissertation. So
yeah. So I'm going to be sending my proposal over for review, and it's going to be in studying the pedagogical experiences of teachers at our school and the uniqueness of that experience. So I'm hoping that I have the energy to be able to carry this through. It's a very big undertaking, and I hope in the end it's my gift to the school, because it's been a lot of work just getting to this point. So you guys will review it and tell me what you think. So I'm just going to be taking a little bit of a backseat, but I am available. If you ever need anything, you know, please reach out if you want me to come to the school or visit. I know Rose will take an active lead, and I think Gina will also, along with Tracy. Thank you, Tracy. We're so happy to have you. Thank you.
I will formally name everybody next month, and I know Maria is always available and she has great insight. So if you ever need to reach out, she always will get back to us on that. And good luck with that, Maria. The tough haul.
Yes.
And the last thing is, I wanted to say that I wanted to, and I'm going to say this is September meeting too, and I'll bring it up at the executive meeting, is to go over what our goals are for the year and at least start planning them out. And I will say I was able to cull a lot from our strategy session, but of course we're primarily driven by our renewal. So to have a five-year plan, and we don't know we have a five-year renewal, makes it all a little scary and harder to focus on. So I would like to, we'll get the application in August 15th. We have the benchmark one. We'll have these lofty goals, hopefully some reachable goals over the next 5 years, assuming we'll have a five-year renewal, or at least an opportunity for 5 years more while we sit here and move forward and make progress. So I would like to bring that up at the September meeting too, just to, we can all go over that. I'll bring it up with the executive committee first and anybody else that wants to weigh in on what they think the goal should be for the school. And I'll present that at the September meeting. And I think that's the only new business. I don't know if we have anything for parent committee.
No, we're in the process of planning out our year. We had a meeting last week. We're meeting again in a few weeks. So plan out our events and our fundraisers and, you know, some new ideas. And I'm happy to announce that towards the last day of school, the Family Association was able to present the school with a check towards the library for $18,000 from the readathon.
Wow.
Thank you. It was amazing.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Wow.
So hopefully we can do it again, even better.
That's next door is that library. I saw it. It's a huge room. Trying to get it set up.
Excellent.
Can I add just two things to show about funding? We received a letter in the mail yesterday that we also received $8,000 from Councilmember Borelli for the library. And I shared at a previous meeting, but just to add again, we received the $25,000 grant from the Staten Island Foundation to support our practicum work. So all good stuff. Looking forward to like doing this library thoughtfully and carefully. So I would expect like that I think we're targeting like a November like launch for it to be like kind of up and running. I wish I could tell you that it was going to be September, but the room is not a storage room right now for all the other stuff. So,
and just so you know, we're making progress on the soccer situation.
That's good.
So I think we'll be able to have some soccer teams in the fall also.
All right. Very happy with it.
Yep. Rose?
I had something for the open other items. Mm-hmm. But, so just to jump back there, Tim had put me in touch with Tim. What's her name? What is it?
Daniela.
Yeah. From the Manhattan Institute. She was writing an article. So he had been interviewed by her, and she had quite an extensive interview with me, going back to the history, to the borough president's office and the parents. And so we should be, she's quite favorable and was very, very excited about our school. And this is almost a direct quote. She said, I've been to hundreds of schools and I haven't felt the energy that I felt at your school and the happiness. So I just want you to know what she said. She's a big advocate of charter schools. We will see that article soon. And for all intents and purposes, it might be picked up by the Post. So we'll see what happens with that. But I wanted to share her sentiment. And I saw the pastosa ravioli box at Rose House. How many settings are you making there? I can't make it. I'm here.
That's
yeah,
it. I'm gluten free.
Please
want ravioli.
We
don't want something.
Listen to her. Just an Italian American. Here she is.
The multitasker there. Does anybody else have anything to add?
Well, then I would like to make a motion to adjourn the meeting. Hearing no objections, the meeting is adjourned. It is 7:57 p.m. And I'm going
thank
to
you all so very recording. Much.
Yeah. Good night.
Thank
Good
you.
Night.
Thanks, everybody. Good night, everyone.